You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again. Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2.
Mark Farner. And isn't it amazing? Actually, I love the opening words of that song. Rain, rain, won't you please go away? Save all your grey skies for another day. My sentiments exactly. Actually, Mark Farner, if you remember, do you remember a band from the 1970s called Grand Funk Railroad? Well, Mark Farner was the lead singer and lead guitarist of that band. So he's getting on a bit now. He's 6 years older than I am. That makes him quite old. Stained Glass Radio on North Sound 2. Lots of things coming up for you on the show tonight. The usual features, of course, the What's On information, the Stained Glass Radio news, and, of course, the Thought for the Week. And we're delighted and very privileged to welcome a new voice to Thought for the Week this week. It's Pastor David Henderson of Destiny Church in Huntley. A big welcome to him. And a week ago, last Thursday and Friday, the Run With Fire I Believe tour visited Aberdeen at the Somebody Cares Conference Centre. Run With Fire Ministries is headed up by worship leader Roy Fields, and he has his own music ministry too. Roy was involved in the Lakeland Revival, which happened in Florida and attracted a lot of controversy at the time. That was 2008. Well, Greg Dixon of Destiny Church in Aberdeen was organising the event. He and Roy very kindly came along to North Sound 2 just prior to the event itself, and I got the chance to chat to Roy about his powerful music ministry and about the Lakeland Revival, or the Florida Outpouring, as it's sometimes called. So listen up later on tonight on Stained Glass Radio for what Roy has to say about it.
Stained Glass Radio, 1035 medium wave, North Sound 2.
Time to go for our thought for the week. This week it comes from a brand new voice on the show, Pastor David Henderson of Destiny Church in Huntley.
Okay, I want to talk about praying and getting results. You know, as Christians, we believe we should be praying, but often we pray and we don't see the results we expect. But we have a God who answers prayer, and we should have an expectation that God is going to answer prayer. I love these wristbands that people have. They say, push, pray until something happens. We need to learn to pray until something happens in our lives. See, the reality is that we understand that God has asked us to pray, but we're often unsure if God will hear us and even answer our prayers. John Wesley said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. So we need to be in a place of faith, in a place where we're open to God and we're walking with him. Somebody once said that prayer does not change God, but it changes him who prays. So even as we seek God, God is working in our hearts. He's adjusting our hearts. He's taking us on a journey. The amazing thing is that even Jesus, who's our Saviour and Lord, prayed when he was on earth, and he laid out an example for us. In Hebrews 5:7, it says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. So Christ himself was actually heard because of his reverent submission. I always thought Jesus was heard because he was Jesus. He was the Son of God. That's why God listened to him. But the Bible actually says he was heard because of his reverent submission. So that's a key for us as we enter into a prayer life with God. So actually, the fear of God, revering God, not in the sense that we believe God is out to get us or every time we step out of line, God's got a stick over our head. Many people fear God in the wrong way, but a reverence of God, of the awesomeness of who he is. Psalm 25:12 says, those who fear the Lord, he will show them the path they should choose. So as we pray with an honouring attitude towards God, he gives us direction. Many Christians don't know what direction their life should go, but as we pray with the right attitude and the right heart, God reveals the path that we should take. He shows us the choices we should make. In another place in Psalms, it says, "The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them." So God confides, he shares the secrets of his own hearts with those who honour him. So prayer is not just about talking to God, it's about listening, it's about hearing from God. God wants to share his viewpoint on your situations that you're going through so you can see it from his perspective. One last one in Psalms, it says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them." So when we fear God, when we honour God, the realm of the supernatural, the realm, the unseen realm, affects our life. God sends angels, support, strength to deliver us and to help us through. So when we're praying to get results, we need to recognise that as we seek God, there's provision. But we need to have that reverent submission to God.
Stained Glass Radio, 1035 medium wave, North Sound 2.
Right now on Stained Glass Radio, it's time to go for the news. And it's News Read with our spiritual spectacles. Stained Glass Radio News. The Norwich Church has been banned from holding a weekly city centre bookstall and has been stopped from worshipping in the premises which it has used for the last 18 years after a complaint to Norwich City Council that it sold a leaflet criticising Islam. After a single complaint, Norwich City Council has decided to ban Norwich Reformed Church from holding their weekly bookstall outreach in the city for equality reasons. Council has also advised the council-run Eaton Park Community Centre to stop taking any further bookings from the church, which has held worship services there for 18 years, and a two-week ban has now been implemented prior to an appeal by the church being heard. The complaint was made about a leaflet entitled "Why Not Islam?", written by the church's pastor, Dr. Alan Clifford, some 10 years ago. The council claimed that the leaflet was hate-motivated. A council spokesman said, "Although the police advised that no criminal offence had been committed, we have a duty under the Equality Act 2010 to foster good relations between people of all backgrounds and religions. By allowing premises owned by the council to be used by an organisation publishing such material, we would be failing in that duty." Pastor Alan Clifford said the church was now working with the Christian Institute on the matter and would appeal in the hope that, quote, "the council would see sense and see how they are violating our freedom of speech." Scottish police forces have been told not to accept a gift of free Bibles from the Gideons because the book condemns homosexuality. The Bibles have been offered to Scottish police forces featuring each force's badge, but the Gay Police Association is against the move and has issued a statement demanding that the forces refuse to be involved. In the past, the GPA has been in trouble with the authorities for making untruthful and misleading claims involving the Bible. In 2006, the group was reprimanded for producing an ad featuring the Bible next to a pool of blood with the headline, "In the Name of the Father." The ad blamed religion, focusing in particular on Christianity, for violent attacks against homosexuals. The Advertising Standards Authority ruled that the ad was untrue, indecent and unsubstantiated. Trade Union Unison has joined with the GPA in opposing the offer of free Bibles for Scottish police forces. Gideons say that they want to offer Scottish police the Bibles as a valuable guide to life. The group said they can be offered to all members of the individual force, both serving police officers and civilian staff. But the Gay Police Association said in a statement, "Members of the GPA have contacted us expressing concern that their force is officially endorsing a religious book containing text which condemns homosexuality." It added, "The GPA does not feel that a public service such as the police should be seen to be endorsing by their active involvement any particular religion over and above any other religion or non-religion." Unison commented, "It is not the role of a police force either to provide official endorsement of any religion or foist religious views on its staff." The trade union added that it hoped police forces in Scotland would reject the offer. The BBC has come under fire over plans to broadcast one of its Radio 5 live shows from an abortion clinic. During the show, Victoria Derbyshire, the show's presenter, will interview women who have chosen to have an abortion and some of the clinic's staff members. However, critics say the show, which will be broadcast from an as-yet-unnamed location, amounts to little more than free advertising. A spokesman for the pro-life charity Life said, "Let's not be fooled. This program would promote the clinics and the abortion industry at a time when it is reeling from recent allegations of improper conduct." As if it is not enough that the industry is now being allowed to advertise abortions as a product, here comes the BBC with some free advertising, it said. A BBC spokesman said, Victoria Darvish's programme for the clinic and our coverage later that day will be robust and challenging. It will offer an opportunity for both sides to discuss their views. Last month, it emerged that dozens of abortion clinics were allegedly breaking the law following surprise inspections ordered by Health Secretary Andrew Lansley. Mr. Lansley said he was shocked and appalled at the findings, which included evidence that doctors have falsified abortion consent forms. Currently, two doctors must sign a referral form before a woman can go ahead with an abortion. But inspectors discovered that doctors were pre-signing the forms without meeting the women concerned or reviewing their medical notes. In February, an undercover investigation by the Daily Telegraph revealed that women are being granted abortions after telling doctors their baby is the wrong sex. One of the largest Bible translators in the world has agreed to an independent review of its policies after criticism over how it handles the terms God the Father and Son of God in some translations. Critics say Wycliffe Bible Translators has omitted the terms from materials used in mostly Muslim countries to avoid controversy. Wycliffe CEO Bob Cresson says the organization is just trying to accurately present the gospel message to a diverse array of communities. The World Evangelical Alliance is appointing a panel of scholars to review Wycliffe's translation policies. Cresson says Wycliffe won't publish any disputed materials until after the panel releases its findings. Wycliffe is involved in more than 1,500 Bible translation programs in 90 countries. And finally, a priest has said he would face time behind bars instead of paying a parking fine given to a church ambulance during an Easter parade. Despite writing twice to Leicestershire County Council to explain that the vehicle was being used to transport disabled people to St. Peter's Church after Churches Together Good Friday celebration in the town centre, Father Frank Daly has still been told he must pay up. He parked the ambulance with a disabled badge and note explaining the circumstances, as he has done for the last 5 years without trouble, but this time he was told his reason for parking there was not sufficient. Leader of Hinckley and Bosworth Borough Council Stuart Bray has joined the priest in urging the County Council to let common sense prevail. A spokesman for Leicestershire County Council said, there are no quotas and tickets are only issued when there is evidence of a violation. They added, if people park correctly, they won't be given a ticket. It is not our policy to discuss individual cases with the media. Stained Glass Radio News. That's one of those unwritten commandments that people have to remember at all times. Thou shalt not ignore the traffic warden.
Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2.
Well, you may have heard us mention in the What's On information the Run With Fire, I Believe tour at the Somebody Cares Conference Centre in Aberdeen on Thursday and Friday of last week. However, I'm delighted that Roy Fields of Run With Fire Ministries, a travelling ministry, is visiting Aberdeen on the tour and has taken some time to drop into the studio to talk to us about his ministry and about the tour itself. Roy Fields, welcome to Stained Glass Radio.
Really glad to be here in Aberdeen. Yeah, it's
great to have you. Roy, you're the founder of Run With Fire Ministries International. You and Melanie, your wife, take it all over the world, and you have your own music ministry, Roy Fields Music Inc. Where did it all start for you, and how long ago was that?
I would have to say when I was a kid, I was 11 years old, and I was in somebody's house in the living room, and I remember them coming together to just do a normal Bible study, read the Bible, find out what the Bible's all about, and these five guitarists had acoustic guitars lined up across the living room, and as I listened to them play, I fell in love with the music, but I actually felt something, made me feel really warm inside. I don't know how to explain it, but as they began to sing, I said, in my heart, I said to God, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. I was 11 years old. So I picked up the acoustic guitar and began to learn it. And by age, I don't know, 14, I began to play keyboards, piano, and then picked up drums and bass and started singing. And next thing you know, I was forming bands. I lived in upstate New York in America. And one thing led to another, just kept on growing and growing. And I don't know, I just began singing songs, started writing some stuff, and to speed you up, maybe at age 21, I believe it was, I left New York to go to Florida. And when I got to Florida, I met a producer from South Africa who had recorded some other Christian artists before. And he just started showing me the ropes and stuff. And before you knew it, you know, I got married down there, got two children. And I believe it was in the summer of 2005, I had served so many churches and ministries as a worship leader, as a musician, muso, as you say in Australia. I don't know what you call, what do you call them here in Scotland?
Just a musician will be
just
fine.
Just a musician, yep, is fine. Yep. And 2005, we just decided to step out on our own and started traveling. We only had like two invites in the whole country. And one was New York and the other was Kentucky, believe it or not. Louisville, Kentucky, which is really strange. And as I think about it now, you know, taking my two children, my wife and myself in a car and driving up and down the East Coast of America to go play at some very small venues. I'm talking very small, like 30, 50 people, small venues. And we gave up everything. We gave away everything in our house. We got rid of our house and just began to travel. And
you felt the Lord was specifically calling you to a traveling ministry.
Absolutely.
A bit like Abraham, you know, just go, just get up and go.
Yeah.
And not know where you're going.
Not knowing where we're going. And that has always been an adventure for us. Mm-hmm. And all I could say is, I mean, in 2005 up till now, we've literally, and as I'm sitting here in your studio, we have literally been on the road for almost 7 years. And we don't have a home mm-hmm. to this day. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not because we can't have one. It's because we choose not to have one.
Yeah, because that's what the Lord's called you to do.
Absolutely. And as a result of that, we've been able to travel around the world and touch many people's lives. And I've seen so many people that have been able to engage into worship and see them come out of the norm of their life and enter into God's presence. I don't know how to explain it, except God's presence to me has always been the awareness that he's real. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've traveled around to do, and we've been doing great so far. It's just been amazing.
Oh, that's brilliant. I mean, you mentioned that your music producer was from South Africa. You actually went to South Africa, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I went to Cape Town, Johannesburg, Pretoria, Stilfontein.
I gather from what you've said in the past in interviews and on the web, etc., that it was a turning point for you.
Which part, though?
In South Africa, that you said that there were miracles of the Holy Spirit happening out in South Africa when you went out there, that it was a life-changing experience.
I think everywhere we've gone has been a life-changing
really?
Experience. Yeah, truly.
That's fantastic.
There are some highlights from South Africa, especially in Cape Town,
right,
where we packed the place out with close to 800 people.
Uh-huh.
And the night meetings were just unbelievable, incredible. And it wasn't just me any longer that was aware of God's presence. It was everybody in the room was aware.
Healings taking place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ears would open, legs would be healed, yeah. Backs would be healed, migraine headaches would go.
That's just something that seems to happen automatically when God turns up, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, and you know, you have some people that travel around, and they, especially in America, and now that's starting to travel international, you have a lot of people that travel around that try to make it happen or try to do it as a show, so to speak. And it really puts people off. It puts me off. But what has happened with us is a little bit unique, is that in the worship itself, nobody's touching anybody. Nobody's calling anybody out. Sometimes they get called out, but most of the time, it is literally God himself that heals some of these people in the worship while they're singing to him. Mm-hmm. And that's been the phenomenon that I've seen. It's definitely been amazing.
That's brilliant. You had the call from God at a very early age, 11, I think you said, Roy. But all through your life, you've felt him directing you, haven't you? I mean, I know his hand was even evident in bringing you and Melanie together, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was incredible. When I left New York, I had, as what we call in the church, I backslid from age 19 to 21. Mm-hmm. Because the church had come to a place where they were backbiting each other, and it was about them instead of about Jesus. And I could sense different motives, and so I blame the church. But the whole time, I also had these issues of it being about me and blaming people for my conditions and stuff like that. And something inside of me cried out to God at 21. And when I cried out to God, I'll never forget it. I was smoking. I was cussing or swearing, using profanity all the time. I was drinking, getting drunk. I had a girlfriend living with me I was not married to. And I just had this encounter one night. I came out of my apartment, and I walked outside, and I screamed as loud as I could, "God, if you're real, show yourself to me. You know, if you're not, then take me out of here. If you don't show yourself to me." I kept on crying. I said, "Lord, change my heart." I didn't say change everybody else's heart. Fix these situations. I said, "Fix me." And all I can say is that day was a pivotal moment in my entire destiny, life, adventure for the future, whatever you want to call it. Moved down to Florida from this South African producer. Within 2 months, I met my wife. But she has been, aside from God, she has been the answer to my life, along with the Lord. I wouldn't be here today without her.
Roy, in a music ministry like your own, and in fact, some ministries that are exclusively preaching, they don't have this musical side, especially with large audiences who attend with various expectations, there must be pressure on you to perform. And you're there to lead worship, to invoke the Holy Spirit, to worship God, to see people brought to Jesus Christ. How do you deal with the pressure to perform? How do you keep it out of the way and concentrate on the worship?
Yeah, well, there's always pressure to perform everywhere you go, even if you're not on stage. You get pressure from your family, pressure from your children, pressure from the government to perform a certain amount of things. In the meetings, all I can say is the focus is not on me. Even though I'm the man on the stage or my wife is the woman on the stage, in my heart, I have to literally turn it around. And every time my feet touch that platform, I tell the Lord, this is not about me, this is about you. And so what I want to do comes to a complete stop. You know, I have no list of songs that I do. I don't have a routine down. Most acts that travel around have a routine. They do it in different cities.
Yeah.
To them, it's the same old thing over and over again.
So when you walk out on stage, you don't have a running order.
I don't have a running order. I don't know how long the meeting's going to be. It could be short. It could be very long. It could be just right. I try to give as much. In fact, I just do. I give as much room as I possibly can for the Holy Spirit to do what he wants. And some meetings, I'll just tell you, some people wouldn't like to go to my meetings because they're too long for some. And somebody said to me one time, you know, why are your meetings so long? And I just looked at them and I said, well, because you're in them. You know, sometimes it takes 2 to 3 hours to get people out of their heads and into their hearts.
Mm-hmm. This is obviously a person who is speaking to you who wasn't concentrating on the worship.
No, they just wanted to see a show.
Yeah.
Some people come to see me because I've been on television and they want to see Lakeland Boy play the piano.
Yeah, yeah. Roy, you mentioned Lakeland, and that's what I'm going to come to next.
Sure.
A big event that took place in Florida a few years ago, 2008, wasn't it? The Lakeland Revival. Now, some of our listeners may have heard of it, but most of what we know really in this country comes to us in bits and pieces, and we don't get the full story. Our mainstream news media in this country largely ignores, it's safe to say, religious topics unless they really get smacked in the face or distorts the story to suit their own agenda. What's your own view of what happened at Lakeland? There's a lot of negative publicity associated.
Oh, yeah. Sure there is. Well, first of all, any time that God has showed up or moved in on a city or a town or something attracts people to God, there is always a move of flesh, as we say. There is always negativity attached to it. You know, just to give you an example, in the Bible, when Jesus showed up in a town, he walked into a room full of his own disciples and then some of the other disciples that came to hear the word. And when he walked in, he said a statement. He said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll have no part with me. And the Bible says that People were offended. Mm-hmm. They got up and walked out.
Yep.
So people walking out or negativity coming, it's always a part of the package. But I can tell you from firsthand experience, from being there from the day it started, I was actually there the day before it started, and I was the last guy to leave 4.5 months later. It started in a church with about 600 to 700 people. And we were just doing a 4-day conference where we were going to talk on, you know, healing and what the Bible says about healing today. And then I led the music part of all that. Well, in the first night, I'm talking the very first night, there was something extraordinary in that room in 2008. There was a shift. I don't want to get too airy in my words, but there was a shift in the atmosphere. 2008 was quite a pivotal year for the world, you know.
Yeah.
That's when the economic fall came. And yeah. It was right after Lakeland that it
We've
started.
We've been discussing that on the show.
Oh, yeah. It's been hitting. And it's,
there was
it's,
a spiritual aspect to that.
Oh, there's
very,
so
very
much.
Strange.
Absolutely. And you know, God doesn't allow things to happen for no reason. Mm. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Even the negativity against the church. Yeah. But in 2008, if you remember, the economic fall happened. And this is after the summer of 2008. In our country, President Barack Obama was about to take office. He was doing his candidacy. There was going to be a change of the guard. He's the first black man to become the American president, and that caused a lot of controversy. I was like, I was actually, I hate to say this as a Christian, but I was actually excited at first that we were seeing a black man in our country come up to a place of honor. And for that, I am thankful that our country has come to that place that we can do that. That's just mm-hmm. awesome. Mm-hmm. But going back to the church, it started on this one night with about 600 to 700 people. Something shifted in the atmosphere. I didn't know what exactly it was, but I knew that my heart, and I could see the hearts of others, were, if I can use this word, hungry for the things of God. They wanted to understand God. And so they when they sang, it was almost like being at a rugby game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how people bond together if it's for the same team, not
yes.
the opposing
yes.
team?
Yes.
And they become a brotherhood, like you buy a ticket, go to the rugby game
yes.
here in Scotland. And all of a sudden, your fellow countrymen, you have this bond together.
There was something special about the singing.
Oh, it was. That's the only way I can think of it that people that are listening to this program can understand.
That's a common factor in revivals, isn't it? When ordinary people sing in worship to God, there is something special about it. People have described it as though choirs of angels are joining in.
Yeah, I can tell you that we heard that many yeah. nights.
Really,
yeah. Many nights. And Ken, the extraordinary thing about revival is that revival, the atmosphere of revival, it takes an ordinary song that you've heard maybe 30 years ago, an old song, and it makes it extraordinary.
Yeah.
It takes an ordinary sermon and makes it extraordinary. Like the words are coming out of the person's mouth and you can watch them go yes. into their heart and become something.
Yeah. That's what revival really means when that sort of thing starts happening. I used to hear the word revival and I used to think it just means an increase in the number of people going to church, but it's much, much more than
that. It is much more. In fact, let me just help you with the definition because many people have different definitions for revival. I'll tell you what our definition is for Run With Fire and for Melanie and myself, my wife Melanie. Revival is not a big meeting. That does not define revival. You know, thousands followed Jesus in his ministry. When he was 30 years old and he started his ministry, thousands followed him. But see, remember this one place, they cried out Hosanna and threw down palm leaves when he was entering into Jerusalem about to be crucified. And the same people that cried out Hosanna, Hallelujah, maybe we could bring it up to modern times. It'd be people going to church today that attend Sunday morning services, and they cry out, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. God is good. God is great. We love you, Jesus. But if you read the Bible, it says that those same people, just days later when he was incarcerated by the Roman soldiers, those same people that were worshiping God and saying, praise God, thank you, Jesus, Hosanna in the highest, they were the same people that cried out, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Ken, people are fickle.
Mm-hmm.
They're just fickle. Yep. They're wishy-washy. They're double-minded. Thank God that God is not fickle. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he never changes. And so revival, to me, is not defined by a large crowd. Revival is not even with people crying or screaming or shouting or jumping up and down or great music or the words being preached. This is what I believe revival is. Mm-hmm. It's falling in love with Jesus all over again.
Roy, your tour, the tour in this country, has 10 venues and the only Scottish venue, 10 venues in the UK, I should say, and the only Scottish venue is here in Aberdeen.
Mm-hmm.
Why concentrate on the UK first? Is there any special reason for that? And also, any special reason why you're visiting us here in Aberdeen rather than, say, larger cities like Glasgow and Edinburgh?
Well, first of all, in 2008, after the revival, to finish the story, the church, the first meeting we had when I told you the atmosphere shifted, well, it grew exponentially from 600-700 to literally 2,500 in about a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Then it grew to 5,000. Then it grew to 8,000. We had to move into an arena. Mm-hmm. Then it moved to a stadium, which sat about 9,000, but 14,000 showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to an airport and open-air field. Then we got a tent that holds 10,000 people.
Yeah.
People came from all over the United Kingdom. One night, Ken, we would say, how many people are here from England? We would literally hear 300 to 400 people.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
And I was just like, wow. How many people are here from Scotland? You can hear them. You can hear a couple guys, we're from Scotland, right? Yeah. Here. Yeah, right. Mm. You know, and then the guys from Ireland, oh, we're here as well. Yeah. You know, all those guys. And Wales, yes, we're from Wales. Wales, we're right here. And they came from everywhere across the United Kingdom. I had already come in 2008 to Scotland. I was in Glasgow. We had 600 people standing room only at the Elam Church in Glasgow.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to Broxburn. We were there. We had 400 people, at
West
least
Lothian.
400.
Yep. Yep.
Then we went all the way to the tip of Fraserburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We had good, at least 350, if my memory serves me correct. I've been to this country of the UK. This is my 10th time back.
Right. 10th.
10th in 3.5 years. Not only that, we never charge any place that we go. We pay for every single bill when we get there. We never say we have to have an honorarium, they have to have this. We do receive a love offering at the end of the night, but it's usually by the end of the night when there's nobody there because the focus isn't money, Ken. And while I was looking at the map this year of the entire UK, we just came from Ireland. I don't know if you knew that. We were in Ireland for a month and a half. We were all over Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. With the last night we were just there, 5 people that were deaf in their right ear, their ears opened up and they can hear today. They'll all testify to you. They'll tell you. And people knew them in the crowd. It was a huge crowd that we had that last night in Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
But while I was looking at the map for this year, I looked at Scotland and I could have went to Glasgow. I could have went to Edinburgh. I could have went to Fraserburgh. And I felt the Lord tell me Aberdeen. And I don't know anybody in Aberdeen. I've never been to Aberdeen in my life.
So you were called by God to Aberdeen.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. You're moving on from here to Hull and then various other English cities.
Liverpool, Birmingham, Bristol, Cardiff,
excellent.
Swansea, yeah.
Brilliant. How can people keep track of what Run With Fire Ministries is doing and how this tour of yours is progressing, Roy?
They just go to runwithfire.com. That's RUNWITHFIRE.com. Or they can go to the music website, Ken. That's at royfields.com, spelled FIELDS.
That's brilliant. Right. We'll mention those addresses later on again in the program tonight. Roy Fields, thank you very much indeed for joining us on Stained Glass Radio tonight, founder of Run With Fire Ministries International and on a tour of the UK at the moment and in Aberdeen at the moment. And we wish you God's blessing on the rest of your engagements in the United Kingdom. We're playing out tonight with a track from an album recorded live at the Florida Outpouring, We Are the Generation. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Stained Glass Radio, 1035 Medium Wave, North Sound 2.
And thanks to Roy for joining us on the show tonight. If you'd like to take a look at Roy's website and keep tabs on Roy's music ministry and on the tour that he's on at the moment in the UK, the websites to look for are runwithfire.com and royfields.com. That's runwithfire.com and royfields.com. And let's take a look at the What's On information in association with the Aberdeen Christian Diary on the web at www.the-abcd.org.uk. And on Tuesday the 1st, this coming Tuesday, spring service for people with dementia, their carers and friends, 2 p.m. at St Mary's Church, King Street, Aberdeen, AB24 5ST. It's organised by NHS Grampian Mental Health Chaplaincy. And for more information or to register attendance for catering purposes, contact Pamela Adam or Maurice Smith on 01224 557 231. Friday the 4th through until Sunday the 6th, the 14th Annual Gospel Music Convention at the Leisure Centre, North Link, Seaforth Street, Fraserburgh, AB43 9BB. Artists include New Ground, Gutan, Mike Speck, Paul's Journey, Marlene O'Neill, North Ness, and the speaker is Graham Mayer. Tickets for the day are £20, for the weekend £50. Kids under 16 tickets are also available. Kids can also attend the Kids Convention led by Graham and Fiona Smith. The contact is 01779 490 956, or you can email via the website www.gmcscotland.com. 5th of May through until the 12th of January 2013, mission-shaped ministry course at Sheddixley Baptist Church, Eday Walk, Aberdeen, AB156LN. It's a one-year learning journey in a supportive community, equipping you to plant and sustain fresh expressions of church, it says. It's led by Jerry Bowyer and Phil Lightbody, with John Drain, Olive Fleming Drain, Andrew Roberts, Graham Cray and Ian Adams. 6 Saturdays, 9 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. and it's held at Sheddixley Baptist Church, and a weekend away too. The cost is £300, and a contact for that is Anna Reid, who's the administrator, on the email address areid@seaofscotland.org.uk, or telephone 031 2255 722. Monday the 7th, and there's a service in German at 2:30 p.m. at the vestry of South Holborn Parish Church, 539A Holborn Street, Aberdeen, AB10 7LH. The service for the German congregation of Aberdeen, Edinburgh, held on this and every first Monday of each month. The contact is Pastor Mike Mell, and telephone number to contact 0131 667 1619, or email germanchurch@gmail.com. And on Friday the 11th, LZ7 in concert, doors open 7 p.m. at the Aberdeen Christian Fellowship, Union Grove, Aberdeen, AB10 6SR. LZ7 are a Manchester-based band bringing the party hip-hop and electro beats. Their song 27 Million, which highlights the plight of those caught in human trafficking, hit number 12 in the UK music chart in March 2012. Tickets cost £10, online from www.aberdeencf.com. And the band website, if you'd like to take a look, www.lz7.co.uk. That's tickets available £10 online from www.aberdeencf.com. That's it for the What's On information. If you'd like to have something included, it's Stained Glass Radio at northsound2.com.
Stained Glass Radio, 1035 medium wave, North Sound 2. Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.